Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor.fm to get started.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, everybody, it's Lauren Kling back with you for another episode of the AfterBuzz TV After Show for Tales from the Loop. Today, we're talking about episode 3 called Stasis. I am not here by myself. I am joined by my cohort, Kevin Allen. How you doing, Kevin?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Yourself?
Doing pretty good. Loving this show. Good. And then we also we have a special guest today joining us all the way from Winnipeg, Canada, is Lauren D. Martin, who's the background costume designer for all but one episode of Tales from the Loop. And so we are excited to have you. Welcome, Lauren.
Hi. Nice to be here.
Thank you for joining us. So feel free to jump in with anything you want to share about the show and anything you're not supposed to say. Be sure you tell us so then we can be like, ooh, there's something we're supposed to know. Because even by saying something, you're saying something, not to put you on the spot. But let's start with overall thoughts. Kevin, what did you think about this episode? This is the one with May, the teenage girl who's able to stop time. What do you think of the episode?
I thought it was a great twist on the clock stopper premise. I've seen a lot of that in sci-fi. This is a classic Twilight Zone episode. And there were moments in the show I thought we were going to steer that way. But as I should learn by now, this program does not follow those tropes. And it becomes more about the human relationship within it and just the overall experience of what if you could stop time? Not about like, wouldn't it be weird if someone else stopped time. It really imposed that feeling of stillness and longevity, and to the point where I couldn't really figure out what the show was trying to say or what it was getting at. And I finally, I think, occurred at the end, it's just about it giving me that feeling that she describes at the top of the episode.
Yeah.
And it's funny because you've mentioned that you have a philosophy background, and you've also reminded me many times that it's fruitless to try to look into the episode. So it sounds like, again, you kind of realized it's less than what you were trying to create or what you were trying to think it was.
Yeah, I mean, it's just as an avid TV watcher, I think I'm so used to plot and the way plot progression works. And the show isn't about the plot. It's about character relation, and it's about just kind of one's relationship with these abstract concepts such as time and how we relate to it, something I've even said before on this program, but for some reason just hasn't sunken in with my own. I'm not practicing what I preach yet.
Right. Lauren, are you, did you watch the show? Have you seen every
episode?
Yeah. You have?
Yeah, I binged it all right away.
You did. Are you a fan of sci-fi?
Some sci-fi, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Kevin and I have, and I don't know if he's spoken to you, but Kevin and I have kind of found this new way of watching a TV show where it's really not about the technology or figuring anything out. It's just about these moments, these relationships with people. Did you find it difficult to try to comprehend these episodes?
I think at first, when I first read the script, I was kind of struggling with like, well, is that going to get tied in here? And how does that come? But then you just kind of like realize it's more like a feeling. The show is more like kind of a vibe and just these stories about people. You don't have to know all the ins and outs. You don't have to have things tied up. You don't have to have explanations. They just kind of let you be creative with yourself and your own imagination. And I really liked that about this show.
Cool. So once we're done with the breakdown, I'm excited to talk to you about how a costume designer goes about putting clothes on people, because I mentioned in the first episode to Kevin, I'm like, hey, did you notice that Cole was wearing like a powder blue jacket with similar colors? There were a couple of secondary colors. And I'm like, wait a minute, the robot has the similar colors. So I'm excited to talk about if what I said was crazy or if I was actually right.
I can't answer that. We had a different costume designer for the first episode. I have no idea if that was
so
intentional.
It's a mystery. We may never know. All right. Sorry. We're creating new mysteries. Yeah. All right. So we've
it's
got
so
May.
It's like that. It's so yeah. good.
So we've got May and Jacob together yeah. in various scenes at the top of the show. Again, we're wondering, is Jacob Jacob or Jacob is Danny? So it's
Danny.
It's
Jacob is Danny.
Jacob Danny, right.
Yeah.
We haven't really come up with a way to describe him yet. She finds a thermos, what I thought was a thermos, and I thought she was going to fill it with water. But no, it's got an on-off switch on it. She meets Ethan at a bar at a wedding. Mm-hmm. And then basically most of the episode is May, well, a little bit May trying to figure out what the thermos does, turns on the switch. And then most of the episode is her and Ethan on a very long date.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. So, so for this very long date, how did we think the date went? Was that the longest date in the world, or did it seem like time flashed by, at least for them, if not for us?
I don't think it flashed by for them. I think that was kind of the point they were getting at with her opening monologue, and the whole reason they wanted to do this is they wanted to stretch out a single moment as far as it possibly could. When they were in bed together, I think they were chit-chatting, and he asked, like, how long have we been doing this? And a month? And she goes, probably longer. And then someone pointed out that they haven't had night in however long this has been. So there's no way of knowing how long it's been for them. So again, it's
they sleep when they're tired. They eat when they're hungry and other stuff. So no one around to answer to. It's kind of like being in quarantine, I guess. So more fun, I think.
Yeah. What it's interesting that, that you don't see night at all. And so it's difficult to break down. Well, how does this work? Again, that's the way my mind works. I want to know how this thermos on-off switch works. It just stops time and turns it back on. Now, they both have bracelets, which seems to make them not be in this stuck time. Right.
Yeah.
And then there's a point where the device is broken, so they're looking for a way to fix it or replace a part. Like a fuel cell is what I was thinking.
It's like a battery. Or like a spark plug, essentially. That was the idea.
Yeah.
And, in the script, anyway, from my memory. Yeah.
Well, good. See, and you have insight because when words are on paper in a script, you know what the writer's intention is. But when we're watching it, we're interpreting it in our own way.
Yeah.
So, all right. See, if I can't figure out how it's going to work, Lauren is here to be our expert. She
saw the
written word. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a point where the device is broken. They can't turn it off. They arrive at the home. Right?
What was interesting about that scene for me was they've been enjoying exactly what they wanted this whole time. They've been living in this singular moment where time does not affect them. It has no effect on their behaviors, or it doesn't get in the way of their goals. And then they started to talk about their experience, and Danny started to bring up
Jacob.
I know, Ethan. Thank you.
Oh, Ethan.
I'm so used to talking about Danny from the last episode and trying to say that name so many times to clarify who I'm.
Yeah.
Which Danny? Anyway, Ethan started talking about like what do we do after, and he started living in the future, and he wasn't in this moment anymore. He was thinking about the next one, and started asking her questions and wanting things to be more definitive rather than just living in the now and experiencing life as it's happening to them. And that's where everything started to fall apart, and they both wanted to get out of this moment, and now that they want out of the moment, they can't. And it's just such a
she wanted to get out of the moment. I think she was like hurt that he wanted to get out of the moment. Like she was happy there.
No, I absolutely agree with that. But I feel like he spoiled the moment, and it wasn't that same moment stretched out over a month anymore. It was this new, like, even though time had stopped, that the feeling that she kept describing in the beginning, you could hold on to a feeling and just live in that, that it ended. I felt like the show was about prolonging the inevitable, that they were trying to not have to deal with a moment or a feeling ending. That's what she was talking about with her narration top of the monologue. And even though they had managed to physically do that, do the impossible task of stretching out an entire moment as long as they wanted, it still ended. And now they're stuck in this new moment of heartache and hurt and feeling betrayed because he might leave her alone now. And so she wanted out at that moment.
Yeah. Well, even at, like, when she's trying to, like, talk to him on the pier when he's, like, looking out and she doesn't realize he's taken off the bracelet because he promised he wouldn't leave. And, like, I remember reading the script and being like, why don't you repeat yourself? Like, why don't you tell him once you turned it back on? But she was so hurt by the fact that he did, in fact, abandon her when she has these abandonment and, like, loneliness issues that I guess I think it was too far at that point. So, in my opinion, like, just how it was played out, yeah.
Yeah, and
I think that's right.
And going off that, there's, you know, she told Ethan that she's hurt because he said he felt stuck there. She was scared that he was going to leave, and seeing her mom in the situation with another man was that abandonment issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was very interesting because I'm watching the episode and my computer screen's a little dark and I'm like, wait, where are they? Who is that? And I couldn't tell who she discovered. Ethan didn't realize it was her mom. So it was interesting what he said. He said, nice, they're in love. They communicate through secret messages left by the lighthouse. So he had, I guess, apparently seen them communicate over time.
No, so they had this little game that you might have noticed when they were in the cemetery and stuff, where they would like make up stories about other people they saw, and then when they froze other people, they were like making up stories about. I don't know how much of that actually got on camera, but I know there was a bit more when we were shooting where they would like going through the school and they're making up stories about like the people that are frozen, and then they did that in the cemetery before everything froze, and so they kind of had this like little riff where they would like make up a storyline about the people. It might have just been a coincidence.
That's so heady though.
Yeah.
Because that's how the show got created, was someone saw a tableau and went, I'm going to make up a story for what happened here.
Yeah.
And now they're doing it.
I keep thinking of this as like, imagine watching an episode of, you know, a Bob Ross episode where he's making a drawing and then an entire series is created out of that one image.
Yeah.
And you think it's such a Herculean task to take a frozen moment in time and stretch it out. And that's what all of these episodes are doing.
Yeah. Like they did such a good job matching up the artwork with the visuals on screen. I was just really impressed with how it all turned out. It was so good. Now I wanted to know if you guys caught when they were first stealing the spark plug and Ethan had gone up to distract the guy. And then he got all awkward when May walked up. Did you catch that?
I caught that. Yes, I did. I didn't know what that meant, but you know, the only thing I can think is he'll be in another episode. We'll get to see. And so that's kind of the only clue we have to these new characters, is they most likely are intertwined. Now at the beginning of the episode,
it's intertwined in this one. Hey-o.
Yes. Oh boy. All right. Did you guys notice that in May's room, the Jacob's drawing was on her wall next to her mirror? Okay.
I did. So, she's very much still in a relationship with Jacob, which you know, Danny is also, he's very aware of. From the first moment they freeze the thing, he comes across Jacob and does this thing to him.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, cool. Well, if your boyfriend's not in the picture anymore, then we can be together. And I think that's why he brought up that conversation about what will we do when they're done, because he really doesn't want Jacob in the picture anymore. They've had a longer relationship now than May's had with Jacob. So he just assumes that it will continue when things go back to normal.
Well, and she has said, I love you back. Like Jacob Danny had said he loved May when they were making out in the beginning, and she didn't say it back, and you could tell that she was kind of like but then later when she's teaching him I don't know what language Chinese. It is. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Oh, it's Chinese.
I said Chinese. I don't know which version.
Yeah. And then he says, I love you to her, like not just trying to repeat it back, but he says it and she says it back. So they're clearly more in tune with each other than, and I think, I don't think they say it in the show at all, but they did in the script how she kind of was like, he's changed a little bit from before he asked her out. Like she kind of liked like this kind of introverted, soft-spoken, sweet guy. And then his personality had changed when they started going out, but she doesn't know that it's Danny in there. So
yeah,
there's that.
Interesting. I think the episode could be shortened to one line that the father says. May is with her father near the end, and he says, sometimes things are special because they don't last. So mm-hmm. I immediately was thinking he was talking about he and his wife.
Yeah, I think so too. I think they know that they're just like going through the paces at this point.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
So.
Great observation.
Yeah. And then lastly, did you either of you notice the town movie theater marquee? I notice it's changed.
Oh, no, I didn't.
Through the episodes. I don't remember what they are in the previous episodes, but this is not a one viewing series. I'm quickly learning. It said missing. That was what was on the movie marquee.
Okay. Huh.
So going to have to go back and see what the marquee says. So any last thoughts about this episode before we jump into a special segment?
Well, I thought it was a really nice touch, I guess, so that once they popped back into time, they cross paths on the street. I'm assuming it was the same street. Like, why don't we do it in the road? And they just kind of had an extended moment for, even though time was still moving, they shared a look that seemed to go on for quite some time. They didn't change their expressions or move at all. It was just, they got lost again in their own time.
Well, and she says that too, right? Like she said that after they had their first in the middle of the road there, and she got up on top of the truck, and then she says, every time we pass this spot on the road, we'll know we had this moment here. So that's nice.
Yes. So I thought, I definitely thought this glance toward each other was inspired by that. Like they just happened to show up at that spot at the same time. And so it's definitely both in their minds. But what I liked about the direction of the show from the Dear Blue Walsh is that they kind of got lost in time again, just for a bit. And then she snaps out of it and he goes chasing her, and they catch back up and go through their final confrontation. But it was neat to see, because like, again, I was trying to figure out like what's the show saying here. And they both started off in this relationship and kept thinking about what it could be in the future. And then they got to be in it. And now they're living in that moment. And then they started to think about the future again. And now they're in a position where they're thinking about the past and they're living in the past moments they had. But for that brief moment on the street, saying the word moment a lot, they were just once again present with each other and stretching that out. So I thought that was a neat little touch.
Well, cool. All right, so let's move on to our special segment. We got the word we're going to be able to extend this episode after show a little bit so we can have time to talk to Lauren. So the special segment I came up with is TV shows, movies, books, and other things that deal with stopping time, strictly with stopping time. And you guys had mentioned a few before. One of those, one of my favorites, is the Twilight Zone episode from 1963 called A Kind of Stopwatch. And that was where the guy in the 1940s kind of talks a lot, finds a drunk man who gives him a stopwatch, who's able to stop time, decides to rob a bank, breaks the stopwatch, and now he's stuck where he can't talk to anybody.
When their thermos was broken, my mind immediately went to that image of him holding up the broken stopwatch. And I was like, oh, they're doing the Twilight Zone episode.
Right. And it's funny. My immediate reaction was, wait, Burgess Meredith. No, he's not in this one. That's the library books.
Yes.
So also Friday the 13th, the TV series from 1988, Bernard's Watch, a British TV show in the 90s and 00s, Clock Stoppers. I think, Kevin, you had mentioned that movie. I haven't seen it before.
I honestly, I haven't seen the movie either. It's about, as far as I can recall, two teenagers. Lauren, have you seen this?
No.
Okay, well, I think it's about two teenagers who get like a pretty amazing technologically advanced wristwatch that helps them freeze time so that they can move freely throughout it. And ever since that movie came out, at least in, I guess, my generation of filmmakers, I've heard people use the phrase clock stoppers just to refer to any moment in film, whether it's like a speedster, like in X-Men First Class, they run so fast that time stands still, or what we saw in this episode where time has stopped and people can move throughout it. Just calling it, oh, it's a clock stopper. That's their power.
Now, there was a Twilight Zone episode from the 80s that dealt with somebody who was able to jump out of normal time, and every minute of time was constantly being rebuilt. So what was interesting is this person could go into a room and see that they were manipulating a person and moving the body, and that once time approached that time period, all the workers would disappear, that time would go live, and the workers had moved on to basically reset people again. It's it's hard to explain. One of my favorite episodes.
Because I've seen things like, I think Futurama did it. I know The Simpsons did it for like a Treehouse of Horror, where the kids were stuck in time. So they just started rearranging the people to make tableaus and just to have fun with screwing with the town. And then when everything finally like started back up again, everyone was in chaos because they blipped to a whole new location in the middle of their actions. And then like all clock stoppers, our team does, they don't do it with people, but they start taking stuff. Like it's only a matter of time before a clock stopper's plot ends with, okay, we filled up a shopping cart with things and we're just gonna take it all. Buy me a new outfit and shoot a bow and arrow, which I don't know how that works. Like when they were riding on the motorcycle, I was like, what are the physics of this? Does the thing just explode because of thermodynamics or what?
I think because they're physically touching the motorcycle, that to me makes sense. I have nothing to say about the bow and arrow.
Yeah. See, Kevin, you're trying to figure it out.
I'm sorry. I'll stop.
We should have an alarm that goes off trying to figure it out. One more I wanted to talk about. There was a 1980 movie, probably a TV movie, called The Girl, The Gold Watch, and Everything, based on a novel by John T. D. McDonald, where that talks about this. It stars Robert Hayes, who starred in the movie Airplane. I'm already on board with that. And Pam Dauber from Mork and Mindy. Oh. And so, of course, that sounds like a perfect TV movie. But even John D. McDonald's story is based on stories from the 1940s and then going back to H.G. Wells. So, all right, we could go on forever with this special segment.
It's a long-running premise.
Yeah.
Well, I'm blanking on the name of the show. It's an adult's cartoon. It's like the little guy with his uncle who's a scientist.
Rick
and Morty.
That's it. Because they did one like that too.
Oh.
And they were like, Summer, you were supposed to put the mattress off somebody falling off the roof. And she didn't do it when they reset time. So.
Oh, yeah. I'm still amazed how much deep dive they go on that show into philosophical issues. Yeah. It's like The Good Place, but only weirder and dirtier and stranger.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, that is our special segment. And so we still got some time. So I'm going to pass it off to Kevin. If you want to lead the conversation with Lauren, I'd love to hear more.
While we do that, I did find this was a hard episode to find the artwork which inspired the episode, but I found the van that, or the heating device
cooling
that
tower?
It wasn't the cooling towers, the three in the back, but the thing that the repairman was working on, this heating induction equipment. I found the painting with that, and hopefully we'll get that up on the screen. And then just a few others that I think, or one other I think might have inspired the being two people being lost in time. And then a third one that I just hadn't shared from previous episodes of the MCEP itself. But so those are on the screen while we talk with Lauren. So you had there was more background, I think, in this episode than has been in previous episodes.
Yeah.
They were also up close. Like, yeah. They weren't really in the background. We got real close to some of these.
Very close.
So how did that change your approach?
Well,
between this episode and like all the others you did.
Well, we did that wedding scene and we actually dressed like 60 people. There was bridesmaids and groomsmen and you don't see any of it. Like, they're in there, but it's quite like the overtone of the show's got kind of a, like a dark filter on it. So it's tricky because their whole thing with the show was that it's set in like ish 1982, but it looks more like 1978 Eastern European. And if you saw it walking down the street, you couldn't clock it. And there can't be any bright colors, whites, blacks, anything too dark that would read like black with the filter on, or anything that would look too white, even if it's like beige. So that made it tricky when you've got like an entire building full of rental costumes that are all like 70s clothes with all these like butterfly lapels and bright patterns and stuff. So like we would get a load of rentals in and we would just go, I would just go through and pull all the stuff out I thought we couldn't use. And then my costume designer boss, Joseph LaCourte, who's amazing, he would go through and then make sure that that was the right decision. And if there was like one or two things that he was like, well, we could maybe use this, he would pull it out. And then the real problem is because all these people are in stasis, frozen, they can't, the clothes can't billow. So we were shooting in Morden in this town in May, in the middle of May. And there's like, you know, it's kind of windy out and stuff. Nothing can billow. Mm. And we can't alter anything because it's all rental costumes. So you can't put starches or wires or, and who has the time for that? Like you're dressing 100 people and everybody's pre-fit and everybody's approved before like we even to shoot that shoot day. So like it goes through many layers. Like I do the fittings with my team. Then we print it all out. My boss goes through it and he picks his favorites. And then that goes through the director and the showrunner and everything. So it's like, I have an illusion of power, but there's no actual power.
I assume that for some of the close-up shots of some of the actors, the backgrounds and featured background, that it was a visual effects that maybe it was green screen. So, oh, wow. So
yeah,
like
that was a lot of people holding very still.
Wow.
There was, sometimes there'd be like a little bit gusty and we just kind of waited out and then the gusting kind of went away. We would shoot so that, and there was a lot of hair product, like a lot of hair product in their hair. So, and there was little tricks to stop them from getting too fatigued from holding things that I don't think I'm technically allowed to say what it was, but we did make sure that the actors or the background performers were comfortable and not just like stuck holding themselves in a position for hours on end. So
there was a shot that's now in my mind, I think toward the end of their experience, she was looking for Ethan. She runs back down the street and she kind of stands just behind this man on a bicycle, wearing a wicker hat. Yeah, straw hat. And the shot is panning over him like this, which is not something I've seen a lot of people do. I've seen like we're going to go around their face a lot, and that technology used for video games and everything. Mm-hmm. But there's something about this shot, and then like, and the guy's balancing the bicycle and he's got this flimsy hat that somehow perfectly place on his head, and considering that wind is involved, like that must have been a nightmare.
Well, I think that day it was like, I don't know how you guys measure wind, but it was 20 kilometers an hour gusting to 30, and we're in the prairies, so it's kind of hard, but it is like in the middle of a street with a lot of buildings. It wasn't too bad. It was actually surprisingly warm day. It was like mid-60s, but when the sun is out, it feels more like 70 ish so it wasn't too bad. It was actually pretty nice. But yeah, just like trying to get the clothes. There was a lot of double-sided tape, let me say that, a lot of top stick, like so much double-sided, and constantly, like every time they'd yell cut, you'd go in and you restick it and you put fresh tape on because they have to move, they have to like release their position so they don't get cramps and stuff, and then you have to reset them. So we took a lot of pictures, like at a team of like, I want to say 5 people with me that day, just for me, not for the whole costume department. And then, yeah, it was... those background performers were troopers, I'll tell you. Wow. But it looked great. Like I remember the first day we were shooting at the school and we're watching the monitors and we're watching them weave through everybody like not moving. And it's just, it was really impressive because I don't think I could do that. So
no, it's very impressive. And to think there's like an army behind that making it happen. Of course there is.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and then people would pick up like a skirt or a dress when we were doing fittings, and I'd be like too billowy, or there'd be like a tie on the neck of a blouse. No, that's like, that can flutter in the wind. Like, you had to think of not only the regular stuff that we have to do when we're costuming the show, but the logistics of the fact that it can't billow. So there's like a lot of corduroy, denim, heavier fabrics, thick polyesters and stuff, so that it's not really flowy.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought of that.
Yeah, I have a question. Lauren, were you tasked with reading any books or movies or TV shows maybe from the time period? I keep thinking like East German, back when there was East Germany, West Germany, that kind of cold, concrete, muted colors.
Yeah, my boss would send us links. There was a wedding scene and a funeral scene from, oh my God, I've completely forgotten the movie, but it was set in like 1978. And he's like, I want this vibe. So he'd like send it to us and we would all watch it. And then you do your best to make that happen. But then you see the wedding and you don't really see
Yeah. There's a lot of work that goes in. I'm always fascinated with Stranger Things. You know, the last season took place a lot in the shopping mall. And when I heard a podcast about how they had recreated all of the stores, not just the exteriors, but inside, they put labels on the shirts and recreated the stores just in case they wanted to film inside any one of the stores. And all of that work we would have never, ever seen.
Yeah.
Unless we were in on set.
Yeah, no, that I remember that came out while we were working on Tales from the Loop, and my boss knew the designer. And so we had watched it, like everybody had gone home on the weekend and watched it. And it was like, I remember seeing those scenes and just like of the mall with all the people and just being like, oh, God.
Well, and your team had the more difficult challenge, because I read in an interview with Nathaniel Halper and the showrunner, saying that they weren't going to have like pop culture references to help set the tone of 80s. So like there's no Star Wars or Michael Jackson or anything.
Or music.
So
there's no E.T.
Everything has to be, on top of everything you've already described, it all has to be super generic as well.
Yeah, because it's like almost like it's, I would say like an alternate universe, right? Where this loop is in this alternate universe. So they didn't want to like do anything too on the nose. You will see in a later one that there'll be like a slight pop culture reference, maybe the last episode, but that's it. Like they kept it pretty nondescript. Like my boss said, if you saw it walking down the street, you wouldn't be able to clock that it's period. And that's, we tried very hard to keep that in mind.
Wow.
And then there was like tricky things, like when we were shooting outside the school, there's like that montage of May and Ethan kind of like as they're falling in love throughout the month, being, you know, in stasis, and she's walking backwards past the chain link fence with a bag of groceries. So there was a scene there that they cut out, and I completely understand why. It was this really sweet couple. It was a real couple. Young couple that would pass for teenagers that were embraced. They were frozen in an embrace in the middle of the schoolyard. But on the day we were shooting, it was very windy. We're in the prairies. It's in the middle of a field. It was the sun was hitting her right in the eyes, and the wind was facing her. And they're trying to get her not to blink, because May is supposed to be keeping eye contact with her. But it, like, I remember my assistant TJ and I were both standing there like, just don't blink, just, and we were trying to keep our eyes open, and our backs were to the sun and the wind, and like by the time they would cut, I had tears streaming down my face. There's just no way. Like, it was just
wow.
So they didn't use that poor girl. They didn't use that scene, but like there's like just some logistics that just don't work, right? So
well, the fact that you guys didn't use technology to make this happen, that everyone just did it, that
yes,
that's a feat in itself.
Wow, thank you. Well, so as we wrap up this episode, thank you, Lauren, so much for giving insight. You have the benefit of having watched the entire season, so I'm staring at you trying to see if I can tell how the season goes. Kevin, do you have any predictions for future episodes?
Man. I mean, I feel like we're gonna maybe see, I would love to see more episodes like this one, in which we've got those familiar sci-fi stories, but we look at them deeper or in a more earnest way. I just love what this series is doing for sci-fi. But as far as plot and stuff goes, no, man. And every time I meet a new character, like the repairman, I'm like, okay, so are we going to learn about him next time? Or, you know, who's next for these stories?
Well, and sometimes the side characters you meet in one episode are just a segue into another character, and that person's still a peripheral person on the show.
Right, like Jacob. Jacob at the wedding was just a guy in the background. He spilled a water to get May to leave the table to go and meet Ethan at the bar. So.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and like the guy that was fixing the cooling, whatever it was, that thing where they stole the part, he is, I think it's in, not the next episode, but maybe the one after that, but he works with
Wait, you're
Danny's...
not spoiling anything, are you?
No, no, he works with, it's in, you've seen it in the previous, and so he works with Danny's father in the episode, but you see that guy again, but as Danny's co-worker, not as a story about him. So
interesting. All right.
Or Danny's father's co-worker,
Well, with that, thank you very much again. Kevin, where can we find you online if we have questions?
You can find me at Kevin Allen Says on Twitter and Kevin Allen Graham on Instagram.
And awesome. Lauren, is there a way that people can find you on Instagram or a way to see some of the work you've done?
I'm just Costumer Chicks, CHX, CostumerChx on Instagram, and that's pretty much it.
Perfect. Thank you. And you can find me at Lauren Kling, LaurenKling. And also, if you guys are watching the show and you're watching us on YouTube, leave comments. I have been trying to answer, but you guys bring up such great questions that I'm like, I don't know. So we're trying to figure it out together. If you're listening to us on our podcast version, give us a 5-star rating, leave us some wonderful reviews. Let us know what you think and follow us. With that, all of us from AfterBuzz TV, thank you for watching. We'll see you very soon tonight. We're going to do two more episode after shows for 4 and 5. So come back this evening. But anyway, thank you very much, everybody.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.